How long does an exercise session need to be? Asking for a friend. Well, for a while, the experts said you had to do at least 20 minutes to get the benefits. Not anymore. Science now says a 20-second burst can give us all those rich rewards. Yes, exercise snacks are good for you. Dr. Martin Gibala is one of the people behind this research. He's a professor in the Faculty of Science at McMaster University in Canada. He's also part of the team who brought us the now famous scientific 7-minute workout, the 4-minute workout, and the 1-minute workout. Martin, welcome to Life Matters.
Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure. I'm seeing a thematic progression here. Now, there was a time we thought we had to do 20 minutes of exercise before we saw the benefits, and then it went down to 10, I think. But the WHO has just changed that. What's going on?
Certainly, people are interested in this idea of how low can you go, or what's the minimum dose that I can get away with. I think it's first important to point out that the WHO guidelines still call for 150 to 300 minutes per week of moderate intensity exercise, or 75 to 150 minutes a week of vigorous exercise. What's changed is the previous suggestion that you had to do that at least 10 minutes at a go. And that resonates with an increasing body of evidence, like you alluded to in the introduction, that says short, brief bouts of exercise can be beneficial, particularly when they add up through the day. And that introduces this idea of exercise snacking.
And so I was wondering if the WHO has just accepted that a lot of people are too busy to fit exercise in, or is this based on a wide base of scientific knowledge that says, yes, this is still working for us, it's going to be good for you?
It's certainly based on scientific evidence. The guidelines are, of course. What they align with is evidence to suggest that when you break up the physical activity into smaller bouts through the day, that can still be as effective for you as if you do the traditional 30, 50 minutes of exercise all at one go.
So tell us a little bit about the nuts and bolts, Martin Gibala. 20 seconds, in what combination brought the benefits from your research?
Well, where the 1-minute workout idea comes from, it's from research where we were looking at 3 20-second bursts of vigorous physical activity. Now, that was typically set within a total time commitment of 10 minutes. So you can imagine a brief warm-up, 20 seconds of a spurt of hard effort, some recovery in between that, and you repeated that 3 times. But the crux of it was 1 minute of very intense exercise, 3 20-second bursts, within a 10-minute period. And what we've shown, and certainly others have shown, is that if you repeat that a couple of times a week, even after a couple of weeks, you can see meaningful improvements in your fitness and other health-related markers. And I'm talking about your cardiorespiratory fitness. That reflects the ability of your heart, your lungs, your blood to transport oxygen through the body. We know it's really important health-related marker because it's related to your risk of dying, and it's related to your risk of developing diseases like cardiovascular disease and type 2 diabetes.
And did those benefits, were those benefits as good as when you did the 10-minute interval workout with quite a few bouts of 20 seconds?
So when we've looked at the 20 seconds in isolation, or if you have long periods of recovery in between, so you could imagine a 20-second burst as you're coming into work, a 20-second burst at lunch, and a 20-second burst before you go home later in the day, we and others have still seen fitness improvements, but they tend to be smaller. So the short there is, if you allow longer recovery periods in between, the benefits tend to diminish a little bit. But again, it comes back to this idea that every little bit counts, and these benefits can accrue and sort of add up through the day and over the course of weeks and months.
Yes, it was interesting to read that you were saying that the research shows the health and fitness benefits start at the very first step of movement. Can you get away with just doing the 20-second burst, or do you need some longer sessions throughout your week as well?
I think it means, what do we mean by get away with? So certainly the research would suggest that even these short 20-second bursts can be effective, but of course they're not going to provide you with all of the benefits that we associate with the physical activity guidelines. And here we're really just talking about aerobic exercise. It's important to remember that the guidelines also recommend strengthening activities at least 2 days per week. So I think ideally, we want to stick to the guidelines, but we also know, and decades of research have shown us now, that most people aren't listening. You know, 75-80% take your survey, suggest or admit to not following the guidelines. And the most cited barrier, or one of the most cited barriers, is a perceived lack of time. Now, you know, clearly that's an excuse for many individuals, but a lot of people are quite busy and time pressed. And so this idea of short bouts of physical activity really seems to resonate. And again, I think a key message is that any little bit counts, even if you're not meeting the guidelines.
It is hard to see how someone couldn't fit 4 minutes or 7 minutes into their average day. But the key, I think, is that, Martin, you say you don't have to change out of your work clothes.
You know, for so many people, exercise is this special thing that we do in a special place after we change into spandex and it takes an hour at a time. Really, we're talking about physical activity. And you're right, you don't have to change into special clothes, you know, especially right now with at least where parts of the world where I live, many people are still locked down and fitness facilities are closed. What we've shown and others have shown is that even a set of brief, vigorous exercise at your desk, so you could imagine getting up and doing a short bout of air squats or some lunges, simple calisthenic exercises, as simple as that message sounds, the evidence would suggest that can provide benefits. So it's really turning traditional thinking on its head a little bit and reminding people, you know, every little bit counts and it doesn't have to be special. You don't need fancy equipment. You don't need any equipment at all. It can just be bodyweight style interval training, old style calisthenics are very, very effective.
Yep. I was looking up burpees online the other day to see how they were actually done with a view to maybe one day trying them myself in that sense. We're speaking with Dr. Martin Gabala. He is a professor in the Faculty of Science at McMaster University in Canada, and he's been involved in this research that's looking at 20-second bursts of high-intensity exercise with rests in between and the benefits that that can bring. Martin, how hard do you have to go for exercise to be considered vigorous or high intensity? It seems like it might be quite a subjective measure.
Another great question. Now, one of the ways that the public health guidelines will look at this is they'll use a 10-point scale where you can imagine that zero is, or one is, just lying sedentary on a couch, and 10 would be that sprint from danger pace, or the pace you might use to save your child from an oncoming car. Vigorous exercise is typically defined as a 7 or 8 on a 10-point scale. So not necessarily all out, but you're huffing and puffing. And at the end of the day, there's no free lunch here. If you want the benefits of brief vigorous exercise, you have to be willing to put in that hard effort. But again, it doesn't mean an all out, as hard as you can go, sprint from danger type pace.
That's interesting. So it's set by the participant. There's no particular heart rate you have to meet?
Well, what those guidelines are is they have been validated, you know, in these ratings of perceived exertion scales, they've been validated against more objective measures and things like heart rate, as you mentioned. And so in many of our studies, vigorous exercise has translated into a heart rate that exceeds 80% of an individual's age predicted maximum. So in many of our studies, we're making these very objective measures, or taking blood samples to look at blood lactate and some of these other markers. But for many people, they just want to know subjectively, what value should I be at? And people are pretty good at their own self-selected relative intensity. The research is quite clear on that.
And what kinds of things can people do to hit that intensity level? Swimming, running, boxing?
Again, I think an empowering message here is it really doesn't matter. So we're talking ideally about continuous, you know, a large muscle group exercises, but it can be bodyweight style training, it can be running, it can be swimming, it can be rowing. You know, many people, especially as they get older, are concerned about joint impact forces. And if they have bad knees, they don't want to be sprinting upstairs, of course. And so it can be less weight bearing exercises like swimming, like elliptical machines. Again, I think a real take home message is the specific type of exercise really doesn't matter, and the evidence is really pointing towards that conclusion that, you know, it all counts and it can all be used effectively. And so that makes it very easy, I think, for people to incorporate this type of activity into their day. Do what you like.
That is empowering. That's a very exciting message. Martin, I did see a piece this morning warning against doing too much high-intensity interval training type of exercise. There was a study published in the journal Cell Metabolism recently that found that you needed a certain amount of rest between sessions, and if you overdid it, your mitochondria stopped functioning so well. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think the takeaway for a lot of people is common sense. And, you know, we know from elite athletes that they can overtrain as well when they work out for too intense and especially long duration, high intensity type workouts. And so for people who are just starting out or mere mortals, you know, there is obviously a risk of overdoing that. And that's where I think, you know, seeing or getting some advice from a qualified exercise professional, they can help you gauge intensity, especially as you're starting out. But there's no doubt that people can overdo either intensity or duration, and then it's not good for you. And that can be associated with these, you know, molecular and cellular markers of disruption literally to your body.
Martin, none of us had heard of high-intensity interval training a few years ago, and then now it's everywhere. It's almost getting annoying. Do you find that people's willingness to engage with particular forms of exercise goes in cycles depending on how much the media is talking about it?
I think so. And, you know, one of the things as I've been researching this for 20 years now, and I just have a growing appreciation of both the scientific and the athletic history of high intensity interval training. And of course, it dates back more than a century. But what's fascinating is if you look through history, you will see times when it becomes very much in fashion and then goes away. And one of the stories I like to tell is there's an exercise program known as 5BX, which stood for five basic exercises. And it was developed by the Royal Canadian Air Force in the late 1950s. And it was designed for service members stationed in remote outposts in the far north near the North Pole at the height of the Cold War. And these individuals were very much locked down. They didn't have special equipment, and it was simple body weight style exercise that was recommended for these service members, and it got them back into shape quite quickly. And eventually that concept of 5BX, which was originally for men, there was an XBX program for women. And again, these were 11, 12 minute total workouts. They spread beyond the military, and over 20 million of these pamphlets were circulated to the Canadian public, encouraging them to do this type of exercise to stay fit. So the point being that high intensity interval training in all of its different flavors, permutations, and names, it sort of comes in and out of fashion over the decades.
Indeed. Pamphlets. It's so 20th century, isn't it? Martin, a couple of other things just quickly before we run out of time. A lot of people use exercise not just for the fitness benefits, but for weight loss and also for stress relief. How does this form of exercise stack up in those senses?
When it comes to any type of exercise, I think what we have to remember, it's the minor player. So certainly physical activity, exercise, it can play a role in weight management and it can support efforts. But the main driver there is nutrition, what we put in our mouths rather than how many calories we burn with exercise. So again, exercise generally is the minor player, but it's important. You know, we really should be exercising for health regardless of the number on the scale and not necessarily for weight loss. The other point is that when it comes to interval training, people say, well, how can these brief, vigorous workouts do anything for calorie burning? Here again, there is science to show that these brief, vigorous workouts can result in the same calorie burning over, say, 24 hours as a longer period of continuous moderate exercise. And that's something that personal trainers will talk about, the afterburn effect, or this idea of a heightened metabolic rate or calorie burning in recovery. Again, it's relatively small, it's transient, but it adds up over time. And so interval training can be a way to support weight loss efforts. On the point of mental health, yes, there is evidence to show that exercise, generally speaking, enhances our mental health. It can lower things like depression scores. It can even enhance student learning. There's work looking at activity breaks in the classroom. I think the jury's out on what type of intensity is best. But again, we're really quibbling on the margins there. And the key point is that brief exercise of any type can be effective to help promote whole body well-being, not just physical, but mental health as well.
Excellent news. Dr. Martin Gibala, thank you so much for talking with us on Life Matters today.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Martin Gibala, professor in the science faculty at McMaster University in Canada, author of The 1 Minute Workout. I can't wait for the blink and you miss it 5 second workout, perhaps next year.